Nick Saban. They gonna call him? Just call Miss Terry, call somebody, come back.
I'd be outside of his house with a stereo.
You wanna talk about pissing Bama fans off? I don't know if there's anything you could do more. What is up, everybody? Thanks for hopping in on another edition of Crane & Company. Look, we take a lot of pride in keeping you up to date on what's going on with everything in college athletics. And obviously in college football, the biggest story, at least this Sunday and now today after the previous two, is another prominent head coach being fired. Brian Kelly is let go from LSU. And we couldn't think of a better guest to bring on. Our buddy from After Further Review, Matt Moscona.
Matty,
what's up? How you feeling?
Just another boring day in Baton Rouge on the LSU beat, gents. No big deal. Just a $54 million buyout to fire a coach. And not sure who's going to be making the hire for the next coach. And, you know, governor involved and all kind of stuff because that's Louisiana.
Wow. Yeah. I think y'all should just sell Tulane back to the French and use that money to pay some of the buyout. I think you can get
some from it.
Matt, you know, we had an instant reaction, actually interrupted our spaghetti dinner last night.
Which Blaine was invited to.
There's a narrative going around that he chose not to come.
I wasn't invited.
Which is a personal issue that he's going to have to work on. But Matt, how shocked were you? I mean, just how did you hear about it? Like, just like everybody else, or did somebody tell you, like, hey, so we're stabbing the king in the back when he turns around today?
On a scale of 1 to 10, a 75.
Wow.
Whenever I went to bed Saturday night, sort of had assumed that there would be staff changes based on some of the conversations. And even Sunday morning, that kind of seemed like the direction that Joe Sloan would be replaced as the offensive coordinator. Maybe Brad Davis, the offensive line coach, were some of the rumblings as well. It's a lot of the fan unrest. Mananand, who coaches special teams, you know, Brian Kelly was seen on the sideline of the game Saturday, giving him an earful. And I got a call right at about noon that Brian Kelly was being fired. And I thought there could be a situation that could unfold after the season, given the way that it went on Saturday, and the very dramatic shift in the sentiment about the buyout, which we can get into if y'all want to talk details on that. But at noon is when I was called and told Brian Kelly and Scott Woodward, the athletic director, were meeting that Brian Kelly, what little support Brian Kelly had internally was gone, and that he was being let go.
I mean, it is obviously the winning has something to do with it, but it's not like LSU was sitting here where Florida State was last year, and you've got like, you're like 2-6, and it just looks terrible. And it did look bad last night. Could this easily be boiled down to more than just not winning at a high level? It's just everybody just doesn't like you. Like, it just seems like nobody, two likes Brian Kelly. LSU, like, find me the person that's not related to him it seems like nobody likes him. And a lot of them, I'm sure, was his fault. He kind of seems a little bit like an ass, to be honest with you, as a person. But there's a lot of guys that are asses that won a lot of games. Nick Saban went exactly warm and fuzzy. You know, I don't think Cignetti's out there kissing babies and walking old ladies across the street. Did everybody just not like Brian Kelly?
I like Brian Kelly. Like him a lot. I think it's interesting. This is one of the most interesting dynamics of the entire Brian Kelly experience, is understanding what the perception is publicly of Brian Kelly versus the reality. I thought he was great. He was great to cover. He was professional. He was courteous. I know a lot of people that liked him. He actually spoke to the team last night when they met with the athletic director and then announced Frank Wilson as the interim. Brian Kelly stayed and met with his team. It's a weird thing. I don't know how you get around public perception and how those narratives are built around you. But Brian Kelly is not liked nationally. It's very clear, and that's perplexing to me because I know awareness of Brian Kelly before he got the job, but he's been nothing but great since I've covered him.
Well, you said the people had lost faith with him internally. Was that just because of the losing? Or was that just people are like, oh my God, this dude, you know, just purely results?
Yeah, I think this is results-based. You know, it's year four for Brian Kelly. And you got to remember the context, guys. This was an all-in season. Mm-hmm. If Garrett Nussmeier back as a fifth-year quarterback, Brian Kelly made a very public plea for donor support for the collective. Remember, he put up $1 million of his own money. They did the $1 million match. He, on the record, said $18 million in this roster, your preseason top 10. They beat Clemson. Expectations continue to go up. And to now, before November, to have lost three games, and then to on Saturday, with, for all intents and purposes, guys, like needing to win out to make the playoff, your season on the line, and to lose the way you did in the second half, the real question began to be raised, like, is this fixable? Like, can they get this back on track? And then you start to ask the question about the $54 million buyout. Well, can you afford not to fire him? Like, how much further down or does this thing unravel before you make a move? And I'm telling you guys, that happened very quickly because, look, I was in Nashville for the Vanderbilt game two Saturdays ago, and that was the LSU board trip. So, you know, you had the entire board of supervisors there. They make one trip a game or one road trip a year. You know, they go to a board dinner and they wear their gaudy purple blazers on the field and they parade around. But anyway, the point is, like, all the power brokers were there. And even after that loss to Vanderbilt, the conversations that I had were that there was no appetite to fire Brian Kelly. The losses were two road losses to top 10 teams, Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, close road losses to top 10 teams. That's not a fireable offense, certainly not worth spending $54 million. 7 days later, he's fired. Yep. I mean, it goes to show you how significant that loss Saturday to Texas A&M was.
I just want to go through the timeline here for a second, Matt. I mean, Ed Orgeron in 2019, 15-0, national champs, one of the greatest teams in college football history. Back-to-back losing seasons after that, you bring in the winningest coach in Notre Dame football history, Brian Kelly, beats Nick Saban in year one in 2022 in overtime, goes for the two-point conversion, wins the West when there was still divisions here. Back-to-back 10-win seasons, has a Heisman Trophy winner, but can't quite make the college football playoff. The biggest narrative was you can't win the opening games of the season, go on the road this year, beat what was a top three team, you know, pretty much universally in the preseason rankings at Clemson. Now you're 5-3. They do move on and fire him. Are we going to look back and say this was a bad firing, Matt?
Well, it depends who they hire. That obviously matters. But I think this was reactionary, Cone. It's hard to wrap your brain around. Look, Jake, you said when we let in, where I told you, you know, in the offseason that they wouldn't fire him. This isn't like some hard opinion that I had. These are things that were in no uncertain terms expressed to me by the people who would write the checks and make the decisions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to remember, LSU is not a poverty program, but it's not Texas oil money. It's not Michigan. It's not a wealthy state or a wealthy university. So where Texas A&M can write a $75 million check to buy out Jimbo 10 times over and not blink, LSU isn't that program. And so this is a real investment that they can't afford to get wrong now, because not only are you paying Brian Kelly's buyout, you have to buy out his staff, hire a new coach, hire a new staff. One booster that I had a conversation with on Sunday told me his estimate would be this is going to cost all in $100 to $115 million to flip this staff. So, Cone, you asked, is it a bad firing? Maybe if you miss on the next coach or you have to go bargain shopping and it just further dilutes the program. But you have to ask yourself, Are you better off letting Brian Kelly figure it out, or had it eroded to a point where you don't feel like you could come back? And clearly they made that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Matt, a couple things here. I want to start with the first thing. Is LSU the best job open right now?
I'm trying not to be gigantic homer guy, but I'll tell you the biggest difference between I would say LSU, Florida, and Penn State would be the conversation, right?
Yeah.
I would say the biggest differentiator is, I always say LSU's advantage is the dirt. You're the only Power Five in a talent-rich state. Now, I don't know how much that matters anymore, guys, because recruiting now is done with a checkbook. You know, a great example is a kid like Jakeem Stewart. If you don't know that name, he's defensive lineman out of New Orleans. He reclassed, was the number one defensive lineman in the country for 26, reclassed to 25. Frank Wilson on LSU staff is now the interim head coach. Worked to get Jakeem Stewart reclassed and eligible to graduate early. And Jakeem Stewart went to USC because USC paid him $2 million and LSU's offer was $1.2 million. Like, in another time, 100 times out of 100, that kid goes to LSU.
Yeah.
I just don't know that that matters as much anymore. So, look, LSU's always going to have resources. You're in the SEC. You got a rabid fan base. You know, they're going to pay what they have to pay for a coach. And you're recruiting Louisiana. So there's great advantages. But I think some of the advantages have been muted a bit by the era. But the same goes for Florida and Penn State as well. If you ask me, Blaine, yes, I do think LSU is the best job available. It's also because it's a program that's won 3 national titles since 2003, played for a 4th, and the other jobs open can't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Level up your workout and join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free for 7 days at fitbod.me/booster. That's FITBOD.me/booster. We've all used it. It's how we got super jacked and tan, lost a little weight for lady ballers. It's like having a personal trainer within your setup. Mm. So it's like there's not another human being with you, but it understands the setup and understands how not to burn me out. I mean, you got all these demonstration videos. And again, you got to keep the body guessing.
To keep your bod fit with FitBod.
Anyways, fitbod.me/booster, FITBOD.me/booster.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I want to ask you this, because a lot of when it comes to, one, where does LSU go forward? Where do they go next, their next step? And a lot of people, when they talk about head coaches, same thing with Brian Kelly, it's about what fit, right? Does he fit the program? Fit's not a real thing to me. Either you win games or you don't. I don't care if you come in and speak Arabic. If you can recruit and win games, you're fine. You're going to have a coaching job. I'm going to go to one of Jacob Hester's tweet. Love Hesty on the show, friend of the show. He says, our DNA was always mean, nasty, and tough. When you played for the Tigers, you felt it. It was non-negotiable. That's the fit, right? I think right now the best coach right now on the market will probably be Lane Kiffin. If you're LSU, that's not Lane Kiffin, right? Lane Kiffin's that mean, nasty, tough. You're going to feel the Tigers after you play him. So where do you think LSU should go next from here?
Lane Kiffin will be the most popular name, fans otherwise. I don't know if that's realistic, guys. In the last hiring cycle in 2021, I'll tell you, and coincidentally, both LSU and Florida were open that year as well, and neither LSU or Florida interviewed Lane Kiffin. And that did not sit well with Lane Kiffin then. But I think he's also we can all agree, he's a very different coach today than he was 4 years ago.
For sure.
But I would also say, guys, do you think it's possible to win a championship at Ole Miss?
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the 1, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
I think it is, you would have to, I think it is possible, but it would be like catching lightning in a bottle. And at LSU, okay, it's more like just catching a bottle.
it's interesting. I look at Ole Miss this year. I look at the roster they put together last year. If you have, I mean, guys, Indiana's number 2 in the country. Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt are in the top 10. Just a different age of college football,
yeah,
man. Like, you can win in non-traditional places. And if Lane's happy there and he feels like he has the support to win big there, I don't know that he leaves. The other names that we've heard here, Dan Lanning, maybe that's a pipe dream. But who knows? Maybe he wants to get back to the South. I don't know. Then you hear the Eli Drinkwitz, Jed Fish, Dan Mullen, you know, those types of conversations. I don't know if that gets anybody excited. But the two off-the-radar names I'll tell you guys, and this will be interesting, because in this era, if you're looking at college football where the general manager really has a ton of influence on building the roster, you know, do you try to build more of an NFL model with a player's coach that has NFL experience, that just wants to coach? And Joe Brady's a name that you're going to hear.
Yes, we talked about.
He was on LSU staff in 2019. He's the OC with the Bills. And the other is Kelvin Shepard, who played at LSU. He's currently the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. You talk about a player's coach, an energy guy, getting back to the culture that you mentioned, that Hester mentioned in that tweet. You know, that would fit. I just don't know that you spend $54 million to fire a coach to hire a first-time head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe they do. But I think another giant question is, who's making this hire?
I will say the argument was, you know, with Brian Kelly, was this guy's coached for a really long time. He's got a lot of wins. This is a safe bet. Yeah,
you said that yesterday.
And he's, yeah, and now he's fine. I just, at the end of the day, and again, you know, you always want the best deal. I understand it's a business. But, and I've talked about this with Florida. I've talked about this with Auburn. Once you get into the business of, oh, well, if this person doesn't fit this certain box, we're not going to hire them. Or, oh, we hired a group of five guy last time. It didn't work out. We'll never do that again. I think that's when you hurt yourself, because you just need to go hire who you think is the right person. If it's Joe Brady, if you feel like that's the right guy, go get him. Give him a chance. If it's a group of five guys. What about John Sumrall at Tulane?
Can I ask one question before, because John Sumrall, I want you to hit on John Sumrall, but before we move off of Joe Brady, I want to ask one thing here, because after our instant reaction show last night, I had some LSU fans reaching out saying, well, one of the reasons he left so quickly for the NFL is because he didn't like recruiting. You just hit on an important point earlier. Recruiting is very different now when it's done with a checkbook, but you still have to get these guys to come to your campus, a lot of times leaving home for the first time. It is different than the NFL. A lot of people, if Joe Brady were hired as the head coach, a lot of LSU fans would only remember everything he did with Joe Burrow and, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and all those guys in 2019. Another subset, I think, of the fan base would say, wait, he hasn't been a head coach before. What would you say, Matt Moscona?
I think my feeling on Joe Brady today is dramatically different than it would have been 4 years ago. Look, Joe Brady, I believe, gets way too much credit for 2019. Ooh. Steve Ensminger was the offensive coordinator. Steve Ensminger called the plays. I think Brady brought some really important concepts and worked with the receivers. And for that, he deserves a ton of credit. I mean, that was Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and Terrace Marshall. And he was the guy, part of that summer of 10,000 catches. And he was a big part of that. But I still think,
hey, y'all, just go in there and play good.
Right. I mean, look, think about who we're talking about here, right? Yeah. Arguably the greatest receivers in the game.
Yeah, did y'all sleep good last night? Good?
Yeah. Right? But I think the job, I think getting the OC job in Carolina was premature. But I think the job he has done in reinventing himself in Buffalo has been amazing, because if you watch the Bills, so much of what they do is centered around the running game, which is not his forte. So I think as a play caller, he has grown and developed. It helps when you have the MVP as your quarterback. But I would be much more on board with Joe Brady today than it would have been 4 years ago. Ooh, but yeah. Cone, you're right. I don't know that he wants to come back to college. I think Joe Brady is going to be in line for an NFL head coaching job in this next NFL cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Sumrall?
John Sumrall sitting there at Tulane. I mean, is that, do LSU fans look at that? Because I swear, and Matt, correct me if I'm wrong here, when the job was open before and people would bring up Billy Napier at ULL, yep, LSU fans would be like, ha ha, ha ha ha. Yep. No. Right.
Smart.
Peasant. Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, no, is that ULL? Do they feel the same way? They're like, we're not going to, you want me to go hire a from Jerry that works with the
Alex Golis
in the city? Yeah, treat him just like Jerry.
I'm not telling you it's right, but that is absolutely the sentiment.
Dude.
Like, the thing, you're right. What happened with Napier? There was a sentiment like LSU can't hire the UL Lafayette coach. Now look, we have the benefit of hindsight with Napier and how it didn't work at Florida. Mm. But at the time he was the G5 guy and Sumrall's in a similar position. And I think John Sumrall is an awesome coach, man. Look, he inherited a really good situation there. But, you know, Willie Fritz had built that thing and then left for Houston, and Summerall inherited a good thing. He's kept it rolling. But there is absolutely a sentiment among people at LSU, and I don't just mean fans. I mean decision makers who will say, you can't hire the Tulane coach. That will, I'm telling you, that will be a thing.
Yeah, yeah. And look, part of it I can understand. I just got a couple more, Matt. I know you're a busy man, but just two questions here. One, Nick Saban. They going to call him? Just call Miss Terry. Call somebody, come back. Let's rekindle it.
I would.
I mean, that's what I said yesterday. They'd have to call the police on me.
I'd be outside of his house with a stereo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Nick, you want to run this back? 3-year deal? Get us, you know, like take one more bite at the apple, what could have been to your time in Baton Rouge? I would. I don't think he'll take it. I think he's really content to be doing TV and not coaching football and dealing with all the NIL and everything that forced him out.
Dude, you want to talk about Bama? You want to talk about pissing Bama fans off? I don't know if there's anything you could do more to piss Bama. And then the second is the players leaving. I know the rule's different now where you have to wait, I believe, what is it, 5 days after the new coach gets hired before you can enter the portal or whatever. How big is the – obviously, they fired him. So, and I know LSU can really stick together and circle the wagons. You know, me personally, if I'm another coach in the SEC, I'm calling Harlan Berry as fast as humanly possible to try and get him out there. But how big is the concern about recruiting now? I know Frank Wilson is the interim. He's going to try and, you know, like Tony Stark this, make it in a cave out of scraps, right? But, I mean, how big is that worry? And do you think we're going to see a big fall off in that roster?
Well, you nailed it, Jake. I mean, the Frank Wilson component is what LSU is hoping keeps this thing together, right? Frank is, you know, he was a New Orleans high school area coach. He's royalty in the state. He coached for Ogeron at Ole Miss with Kiffin and then coached at Tennessee under Lane as well. He is, he was on Les's staff for a decade. He has head coaching experience at UTSA and at McNeese. But that's really the hope, is that these guys buy in and play for Frank because they love Frank and finish out the season and stay. And then, of course, Frank is a recruiting coordinator. Hope is he keeps this 2026 class together. And there's some big names, man. Louisiana guys who are committed. You know, Lamar Brown, big defensive lineman from Louisiana. Richard Anderson, you know, big defensive lineman from New Orleans. Their hope is that they can keep this thing together, but I think it's probably still too early to tell. Yeah, I did talk to some people who were in the team meeting on Sunday night, and the sentiment was it was somber, saying goodbye to Kelly. I mentioned, you know, Brian Kelly did address the team in that meeting. But I think it's probably a little too early. You know, all these guys are going to no doubt have a lot of different elements pulling on them to leave. And, you know, we'll see it. We'll see how it goes, man. I think it's naive to think everybody stays and everything's hunky-dory over the final month. But you know, I think their hope is they can keep it together.
You know, Florida pulled the Band-Aid on Billy Napier a week before a bye before their rivalry with Florida-Georgia. LSU does the same thing week before a bye before a rivalry with Alabama. UCLA fired their head coach and won 3 straight games. UAB fired their head coach and beat Memphis. I just wonder, like, is there a situation here where LSU actually is better off this season? Forget long-term. Like, is there a way they could actually galvanize, circle the wagons, and win a bunch of football games still this year?
Well, I think you always get the interim bump. I think that's a real thing.
Yeah.
And the thing about this team, Cone, that's different than even UCLA, is this is a talented football team, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've said it plenty, but you know, the greatest indictment on this team is going to come in April when the draft rolls around and you're going to see double-digit LSU players drafted. And you're going to go, how did it go so south so badly? So are they capable? Yeah. I mean, they're capable. I'll tell you something else, guys. You know, I think there's a real question about what they do at quarterback for the remainder of the season. Garrett Nussmeier has obviously been battered and broken. And I think internally there have been conversations about, do you give Michael Van Buren a shot? Joe Sloan, the offensive coordinator, was let go as well. So Alex Atkins is the former Florida State offensive coordinator, has been elevated. He'll call plays the remainder of the season. You know, is it a situation where you give a look at Van Buren over the final month of the season. I don't think LSU's problems started with Garrett Nussmeier. I think you have really, you've had awful offensive line play.
It's been so bad. That's the problem. I think you have to be a genius to figure out LSU's offense. And I think for the last 2 years, I thought they were good at tackle last year, but the inside was just a snack for everybody.
Yes. They've got two road games, Bama and Oklahoma. They'll be underdogs in both. They got home games against Arkansas and Western Kentucky. They should win the home games. Can you steal one of those road games? That would be, I think, a successful final month of the season. They manage to find a way to 3-1.
The buyout, Matt, quickly. I saw there's a clause like Brian Kelly has to be looking for another job. What does that mean? He just has to go buy a newspaper every morning and circle a couple of things? How does that work?
The real interesting thing is that the governor, the board of supervisors, and select boosters met on Sunday night, and they did not make a final determination on what to do with Brian Kelly's buyout. So what they're doing right now is just paying him.
Hey, is there a cause there? Like Tennessee's always hey, check the, where's he been for the last?
Or no, you're not fired. You just can't come coach the football team.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I think some of that is all layered in, but this is where it goes back to being convoluted with the conversation with the governor earlier. I have heard whispers of maybe trying to exercise the for cause clause in Brian Kelly's contract. I don't know how realistic that is. What I was told is that they did offer him a settlement, lump sum settlement, and he said, "Right." He said, "No. Yeah. And why would you take less?
No, I would. You can settle this.
Yes, they signed you to a contract. LSU is financially beholden to honor that deal, and I think they should. So they're just going to keep paying him now. It's about $800K a month, which they would have to pay him through 2031. But his contract would be mitigated if he gets a new job. But keep in mind, his contract would be mitigated by new employment. So not only a coaching job. The interesting thing is media. So if he even goes and gets a TV job, whatever his salary would be on that, it would lessen his buyout.
Yeah.
So anything, when you're talking about 54 million guys, anything helps.
God, this must suck to get paid to sit your ass on the couch.
It's you would not have to worry about me having another job. You would 100% not. You just have to worry about how much I'm going to put on some of these games.
Thanks for that info, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Matty.
Matt.
Hey, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, Urban.
Yes. Thoughts? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Because he's got a crazy.
Yeah. Hey, let's just call Optimus Prime.
No.
And see. I literally wondered.
No head coaching experience.
That is true. Does Les Miles and Ed Orgeron, do they have a daughter and a son that could come together and have a child, be the Harry Potter of LSU, to work it together? But Matt, I know you're going to keep us updated, man. Tell everybody where they can find you after a further view, all the stuff you do Locked On LSU. It's all great stuff.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we're syndicated all over Louisiana, but 1045ESPN.com, LouisianaSports.net. We broke the Kelly news yesterday, LouisianaSports.net as well. So appreciate people check that out.
All right, Matty. We appreciate it, buddy. We appreciate y'all watching. Make sure you stay locked in so you can stay up to date on what's going on, because there is some massively, massively impressive jobs open right now. We'll see if they want to hire one of us. Blaine?
I'm down.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.